I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, Thursday afternoon, August 1st, we are almost to the weekend. I told you Monday, the weekend's going to be here before you know it. It is almost here. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us this afternoon. You know, just a moment ago, Newell made me seem like I'm some kind of a man whore, which is not true. He said this is Girlfriend's Day or National Girlfriend's Day or something like that, and he thought that the show today was going to be about all of my girlfriends. Look, I've had a few over the years. I have. But, you know, I have never I've never mistreated anybody. I've always been very respectful. I never started going out with somebody thinking that it was going to end. You know, I always tried to, you know, make things last. And you know, there was a time in my life when I might have been a little bit of a man whore. But, you know, I was always always cautious, always careful. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to insult anybody that I had spent time with in my life, because they were a great part of my life at the time. And I'm really not a man whore. All right, we got a lot to talk about this afternoon. So in New Orleans, and of course across Louisiana, the new law goes into effect today. You don't have to have a permit to carry concealed weapons. You can conceal your gun and you can go in New Orleans or anywhere you want in the state. This is a new thing pushed forward by Jeff Landry, our governor. And, you know, I still think there's something kind of scary about people who don't care about understanding anything about guns. They don't care about knowing when to take it out, when to use it, how to use it. And a lot of people who think that all I need is a gun, a lot of people who have that mentality, they end up in prison. There are people in prison across this country because they thought, well, I got a gun, man. I can do what I want. No, you can't. And the people in prison will tell you that. And, you know, when we talk about this, let's remember that the great majority of gun owners are really responsible gun owners. They teach their kids, they keep guns away from their kids, and they do the right thing. But it's the reckless gun owners that get all the attention. So it's sad, it's not fair, but let's just be aware of that reality, that most gun owners are really responsible gun owners. But, you know, let's see if crime goes down because of this. But here's a very interesting thing to remember, and remember you heard about it on our show. Down the road in a year, let's say crime is down, and people are going to say, and Jeff Landry's going to be one of them, they're going to stand up and they're going to say, you see, man, we put that, you know, you didn't have to have a permit. We put that law into effect where you can carry a concealed weapon. You don't have to have a permit. And look, crime is down. But wait a minute. Crime has been going down up to this point. And I try to point this out whenever I can, because it's a really known fact when it comes to a lot of things that people assess. When they say, you see, this made a difference. Quite often, the difference that was made, the trend started a long time ago. And so this trend of less crime has started up to this point. And people are going to say, I mean, if crime continues to go down, there will be people, and beware, because Jeff Landry may be one of them. They may say, well, you see, August 1st, see, crime went down because we had that permitless concealed carry law. But in reality, crime's been going down. So if crime continues to go down, it's not because of the concealed carry law. It's not because of constitutional carry. It's because crime's already been going down already. All right, so you now hear about this tropical system that really hasn't developed, but it could develop into a tropical cyclone, and it could end up in the eastern Gulf of Mexico. And that's pretty scary for us. We're in the central Gulf of Mexico. And I don't want anybody to be alarmed, but I just want to remind you that if anything should happen with this storm or any storm, we are here for you. WWL will be with you the entire time. No matter what goes down, no matter what goes out, we will be here with the information you need. And that's not just for this storm, that's for every storm. So we have to watch that, you know, between now and the weekend. I think we're going to know more Saturday or Sunday. There are some models that sort of take it up Florida and maybe into the Atlantic, but other models take it into the eastern Gulf of Mexico. And the worst side of a storm is the eastern side of the storm. We're going to be on the western side of the storm. So even if it gets close, it doesn't seem like we're going to get very much activity. And let's hope that that's the case. Right now, it's headed for a relatively unpopulated area, the panhandle of Florida. Well, not the true panhandle, but where the panhandle turns into, you know, the peninsula of Florida. I guess it would be Apalachicola or someplace like that. And that's a less populated area. So, you know, I guess that's good news. Not good news for them, but it's good news for us. But it's something that we do need to watch. Donald Trump yesterday. I mean, what in the hell is this man thinking? There are Republicans, many Republicans, who are just bashing Trump for what he said yesterday during a conference of black journalists. Trump basically said that Kamala Harris is not black, and he said that at some point she decided to turn black. So I guess we could talk to some of our listeners today and ask them, when did you turn black? When did you turn black? This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. And again, this is my opinion. You might think it's a brilliant thing to say. But her father is from Jamaica. Her father is black. Ever see people from Jamaica? Her mother is from India. Ever see people from India? So she is not only black, but she's also a person of color. And I don't know what this man is thinking. And all he does is rile up his base, and his base is not big enough to get him elected. So do you understand this? I don't get it. When he said that yesterday, I just thought, this is crazy. And he put some posts on Truth Social. And by the way, Truth Social is tanking. So is Breitbart News, tanking. People who are engaging in these conservative sites, they're leaving. I'm not sure why. This is not my opinion. This is a fact based on the numbers. But Donald Trump is kind of doubling down on what he said. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. Angel Reese is posing in a Chanel bikini. This is during a tropical getaway before she returns to the Chicago sky. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that. Hey, you know what? So what? You know, she looks really great. She's got a great body. She looks great in a bikini. And why shouldn't she play up that side of her? She's sexy. I'm sure there are people who think, oh, she's a role model for young girls and she shouldn't play this up and she should. Hey, you know what? If that's your opinion, that's your opinion. But I think it's cool if she does these things. She's a grown-up. She's a grown lady. And she can do this if she wants to. And by the way, you know, I've done a lot of thinking about some of the callers on our show, in particular Janice and other callers like Janice. And I'm going to make a concerted effort as of today to just really let them talk. And I'm not going to be so quick to correct them as they're talking. I'll wait until the end, and then I'll correct them. But I'm going to let them talk. So, and I'm going to try to make the show a little smoother as far as that's concerned. But, you know, I mean, I'm human. I'm passionate. I'm passionate about the topics. And when somebody says something that is, like, ridiculous, I can't help but want to jump in. But I'm going to let them. I'm going to let everybody just talk. Ian Hoke is our senior producer. He is at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, too, as well. How are we today?
Good. Got all your work done yesterday?
Yes. The Saints say hello.
That's good.
They're looking forward to playing the football this year.
Good. And, hey, we got a football game tonight.
Yeah, dude. The NFL season is here, bro.
It's crazy.
I don't know if people are clocking that right now because, you know, the Hall of Fame game, I don't know if people really have that on their radar. And there's such pomp and circumstance about, you know, the season opener, you know, after the preseason games. But
it's a game.
We have pro football happening tonight.
It's an NFL game. I'm excited about that.
It's August 1st, dog.
Olympics are still on. I remember a time. Now, wait a minute. Now, you know, maybe I'm crazy.
What?
But I remember a time when the Hall of Fame game or the first game of the football season was last year's, do I remember this correctly? I know it's going to sound crazy.
I'm following you. Let's
last
go.
Year's, the previous year's championship NFL team going against the best college team or a college all-star team. Am I remembering what? That? Am I remembering that correctly?
I don't remember that.
I mean, I'm old. I'm old. But that doesn't mean I remember correctly. I mean, it seems so absurd that I feel like, as I say it, I feel like I'm wrong. But somebody text us and let me know if you remember that. Wasn't there a time when the first game of the season was against the NFL and college football players? We got to check that out.
Someone will tell us.
Yeah, because I got
Bupkus over here.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Again, I could be wrong, but I do remember that. So look, at the first hour of the show, we're going to talk about politics. We're going to talk about what Trump said yesterday. Not because I'm picking on Trump. It's just that when anybody says that a black person decided to turn black and they are the party's nominee to become president of the United States, it's like we would be reckless and irresponsible if we didn't talk about that. So, yes, we are going to talk about that this afternoon, but in the first hour, because in the second and third hour, 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock, I want to talk about MTV, because this is the day, August 1st, 1981, that MTV first went on the air. And for so many of us, MTV was an integral part of our lives every day. You know, I was doing the morning show at the time. I would come home. I would eat lunch. I'd watch MTV. Watch MTV in the afternoon. I'm sure many of you remember coming home and watching MTV. So I talked to a number of people over the years about MTV. And we're also going to play back part of my conversation with one of the original VJs, Alan Hunter. Alan Hunter has talked to me on a couple of occasions. And we're going to play back one of those interviews with Alan, talking about what it was like for the VJs the first day MTV went on the air. And it's a really fascinating story. I've talked to Rick Springfield about it. I've talked to Cindy Wilson of the B-52s about it. Talked to Michael Scores of Flock of Seagulls about MTV. So we're going to share some of those interviews with you in the next 2 hours after this first opening hour. So if you want to join us, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. And let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Here's a text that says, "Let Janice talk. Arrgh, the worst T-shirt motto ever. When the hell have you ever stopped her from talking, Scoot?"
Well, that's true. And you know, I just get so anxious when she says things that are inappropriate or when any listener says something that is totally wrong. You know, my instinct is to jump in and go, "Whoa, wait a minute, man. Wait, I'm going to let you talk, but just wait a minute." But instead of trying to address it all the time at that moment, I'm going to let him talk and then I'll correct him at the end. Yesterday was an example about somebody called the show and said that Kamala Harris said that she wants to take everybody's guns away. And apparently there was some conversation about a mandatory gun buyback. I don't know all the details of it. But what I mentioned was that they're not going to take your guns away. If Kamala Harris said that, she was stupid for saying that. And she shouldn't say it. But even if she says it, they're not going to come get your guns. So don't worry about that. The Supreme Court, even when the Supreme Court was liberal, the Supreme Court was very clear about everybody owning their guns. A more conservative Supreme Court is certainly not going to change those rules allowing people to have guns. Not everybody should have a gun, but nobody is going to take your guns away. I've been doing this a long time, and it's almost every election cycle, right-wingers are trying to scare people. You better vote Republican or they're going to come and get your guns. That's fear tactics. That's not going to happen. They're not going to get your guns. So just relax about that.
Got a couple texts in here about those exhibition football games. Here's one that says, "College football all-stars used to play an exhibition game each year. I think it ended in the mid-70s. They played against an NFL squad."
Okay, so I was right.
You were right. Same texter says, "Miss Harris's Indian heritage was heavily played up when she was elected to the United States Senate. Being part Indian was more novel than being black. I'm guessing that is what Trump is hinting at."
Isn't it interesting that everybody has to interpret what Trump really meant? That Trump can't explain it himself. Or Trump says something and everybody comes along after. "Well, no, this is what he meant. No, he was trying to make a joke about if you go black, you never go back." I don't know. It's just funny to me that everybody has to step in and tell everybody else, "No, well, this is what he really meant." I mean, we're not stupid. We hear what he says. And I know a lot of you don't like Trump because there's a big group out there known as rats. You know about the rhinos, but there's another big group out there, rats, Republicans against Trump. But they're going to vote for Trump because they don't like Biden. They didn't like Biden, and they don't like Kamala Harris. They think she's going to be too liberal. And I brought that up a long time ago. Her liberal voting record in the Senate is something that's going to come up, and she's going to have to appear more moderate on the campaign trail if she wants to win.
I don't know why the texter is trying to ascribe some sort of deeper thought process for the former president. Like, he thinks about race science in a way that's, you know, clear cut and straightforward. He's not. He's grasping at straws. He has no idea what to do with this woman. But it is true that when she was elected the United States Senate, she was called the first Indian American senator because she was. She was not the first black female person in the United States Senate. So that's why the coverage when she was elected to the Senate from the state of California focused on her Indian heritage, because we'd already had a black female senator before that.
And politics is about getting attention and establishing something new. And so if there's anything new about a position that somebody takes for whatever reason, they're going to play that up. And they do it on both sides. So, I mean, if she did that, so what? She's still black. And in this country, I mean, I remember when Obama was president. I mean, they had these bozos called, yeah, well, you know what? He's part white. So why don't they say that? Look, if you look at Barack Obama, what do you think he is? White or black? Exactly. You think he's black. And I don't know that this is fair, but in this country, if you are partially black, you are considered black. I don't know that that's fair, but that's the way it is. So this bogus idea that, well, she's not all black. Well, I mean, so what? She didn't make up the rules. I don't make up the rules. But if you're partially black, you're black in America.
The fact that some people in this part of the country don't know our own history well enough to know about the one drop rule, which existed in this country, in this part of America for centuries, which says if you have one drop of African heritage in your blood, you're black as far as the law is concerned. And so now suddenly people want to forget that, and they want to say, oh, well, you're only black if it says black on your birth certificate, or if you don't have some other sort of heritage from some other country or some other place. People are saying, well, she's Jamaican, but not African-American. It's like, where do you think the black people in Jamaica came from, genius? Like, they didn't just pop out of the ground like plantains or something. They were brought there from Africa, man.
Have you ever been to Jamaica?
Good
Have you
Lord.
Ever seen the movie Cool Runnings? Have you
yes.
ever understood anything about, like, the West Indies? You know, when things result from ignorance and stupidity, we are going to talk about this on the show. And I hope that doesn't make you uncomfortable. You are welcome here with whatever your opinions are, but you're going to hear things on this show that you're not going to hear on countless conservative talk shows across this country, because they're not going to tell you that stuff, even though it's true.
I'll leave you with this one. This text says, how do you know that Truth Social is tanking, Scoot? You're not on there.
Well, I got a lot of statistics here, you idiot. I mean, what
do you
so
think? What do you,
how do you know the ratings? How do you know somebody's winning in the? How do you know Fox News is winning in the ratings? I'm not on Fox News, but I've got the statistics.
How do you know the Cincinnati Reds won the baseball game? You didn't. You're not on the Cincinnati Reds, idiot. People write about this stuff,
God.
Man. These are knowable facts. What is wrong with you?
These are
think
absolutely
before you speak.
Facts. All right, Truth Social tanks for the third straight month and records the second lowest audience since they began. Newsmax was the only conservative news website that went up out of 22 that were surveyed. Newsmax went up 26%, but they didn't have much in the beginning. So some people are, again, seeking something that is even more conservative than Fox News. The Federalist, down 95%. Breitbart, down 92%. Town Hall, another conservative site, down 92%. The New York Times, down 22%. And CNN, down 32%. And Truth Social is down. So again, I have never made up a fact that I have put on this show. Never. Not once. I've never made something up. So challenge all you want, but, you know, we've got the hardcore statistics right in front of us. All right, we got to get to a break here. You know, I think about this black and white stuff, and as a boomer, I'm just embarrassed that it is still such an issue today. And it is still a big issue today. And what Trump said yesterday was just dumb and very, very weird. Yeah, I'm trying to think of when I turned white. I don't remember the specific time. I think it was kind of an evolution that I just evolved into a white person. Donald Trump saying that Kamala Harris at some point decided to turn black. I can't make this stuff up. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this is a three-dog night. This would have been, you know, late 60s, very early 70s, and they're, you know, talking about race relations. You know, I was part of that generation, and we fought for equality. I would have never thought, looking into a crystal ball, that in the year 2024, that we would still be talking about race in the vicious, ugly way we're talking about race. And Donald Trump is trying to rob Kamala Harris of being black, because in the eyes of many, that is an advantage for her against Donald Trump. But why would he try to rob her of her heritage of being black? She's from a black father from Jamaica and an Indian mother from India. I just think this is total insanity. I'm Scoot. Let's go to David in Metairie. Hey, David, welcome to the show. I'm sorry, Daniel. You're on WWL. Hey, Daniel. Hey, Daniel. Is Daniel with us? All right, we'll get back to Daniel if we can. Let's go to Gregory in Metairie. Hey, Gregory.
Hey, Scoot. You know, like you, those songs, that's the stuff that I grew up with.
Yeah.
You know, the song you just played. And it made me accept everyone. Man, I don't feel that way. But I was telling Ian, I said, you know, you talk about divisiveness. Why do they have to have so many associations? Black. And I know what you're going to say, because many years ago they weren't allowed to participate in modern society. That's a lot of crap. And the other thing is, Kamala Harris did, I don't think she denied, Trump didn't deny her being black. He just said, well, he was kind of surprised, you know, because she ran as an Indian all the time in California. And believe me, I was in California when she was AG. And she used that, you know, to be a minority. Her father was a Jamaican, but do you know the history of her father's family? Oh, my God. They were incredible, ruthless slave owners in Jamaica. And her mother was an Indian, yeah, and they were both radicals. They met at Berkeley. That should tell you everything. Come on, man.
Well, tell me what your point
is. I see the black.
She's black.
I think the blacks are more divisive than whites ever are in this modern era.
Okay. You are entitled to that opinion, Gregory. Glad you had a chance to call the show. Let's go to Trombone Steve. Hey, Trombone Steve. Welcome. Haven't talked to you in a while.
Hey, yeah, I haven't called in a while. I still listen every day, though. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing great. Wait, you're kind of breaking up there, Trombone Steve. Let's see if we can get a better connection here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now.
Everything I wanted to say was complaining.
Hey, Trombone, I don't know where you are right now, but I'm going to have to move on. If you want to hang on for a minute, I'll try you back in just a second. Let's go to Carrie in Lafitte. Hey, Carrie.
How you doing, Scoot?
I'm good.
Listen, since we're talking about race, I'd like to just briefly bring up, I'm an Italian man, and yesterday, with the women's boxing, they allowed a man to beat up on a woman.
There was a transgender fighter?
I don't know what they are, but I used to be a councilman in Harahan, and we had boys' sports and girls' sports.
So we wouldn't let the boys
beat up the girls.
Okay. Explain what you mean by that. Tell me what you saw in the Olympics.
What happened was they allowed men who recognize themselves as women who were disqualified last year because they are biological men, yet because their passport says they're women, They allowed the Algerian to beat the Italian woman, and it was so bad after 40 seconds, she had to stop because she was getting beat. She was getting hurt.
So the person who was beating up on the woman was a biological male. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, and was disqualified last year by the boxing committee because there's two of them, one from Taiwan, one from Algeria. But when they asked the Olympic committee, well, why are you allowing this? Well, it's on their passport. They say they're men.
Well, so do you want to know what I think of that?
I'd love to.
I think it's crazy. I think it's wrong. I didn't make up that rule, but I think that's wrong. There are biological aspects of being a man that one gets at birth that give you an advantage in situations that deal with strength. And that's just, unfortunately, that's a biological fact. And it doesn't mean that there aren't some women who are stronger than men. But I think that transgender athletes, I think it's unfair. And I know this is a very controversial topic, but I don't think it's fair for a person to transition into being a woman, but yet they still have some of the intrinsic parts of being a male, aspects of being a male in sports. I don't think that's fair.
Scoot, it's just insane. And just because they recognize themselves as such, what if Mike Tyson decided in his prime, said, you know what, I think I'm going to identify myself as a woman and go fight women.
Yeah.
It's just, I think this poor girl trained her entire life against women, and she finally makes it to the Olympics, and they put a man in to beat her.
Well, I'm sure this is...
And I think the Olympic Committee should be ashamed of themselves.
I'm sure this is going to come up in conversation, Kerry. I'm sure I didn't watch that last night, so I didn't see it. But this is an issue, and this is going to continue to be an issue. And if the Olympic Committee is so relaxed with that, they let you say whatever you want to say you are, I pursed wrong. But again, this is a controversy that's not going to go away. All right, let's go to Trombone Steve. Trombone, I think you're with us now.
Hey, Scoot, I think we got a better connection now. Sorry, I'm driving from Baton Rouge. So first thing I wanted to say is I'm playing with Bag of Donuts Saturday at Rockin' Bowl. If you and Ian can come, that'd be cool.
Awesome. Bag of Donuts, Rockin' Bowl, what day? Saturday?
Rockin' Bowl. This Saturday.
Yeah, and Paul Verisco and his band, Paul Verisco and the Milestones, are playing on Sunday. And boy, this is a great place to meet people. I met somebody there once. Yeah, Bag of Donuts Saturday, and Paul Verisco. We're going to talk to Paul tomorrow on the show, but Paul Verisco and the Milestones do two shows a year at Rockin' Bowl, and it is packed. And, you know, it's a lot of boomers, and, you know, it's a lot of fun, and a lot of people are looking to meet people, run into people that they saw from the past, and that's a great place to do that. So, yeah, Trombone Shorty has the name Trombone Shorty because, I'm sorry, Trombone Steve has the name Trombone Steve because he's played trombone on the air with us before. I'll try to make that.
I also wanted to say, you know, it's scary to me. I'm on your Facebook all the time. I see the comments on your Facebook. I listen to your show every day. I hear the callers. It's scary to me. It's scary to me that we're living in two separate realities. We're as a country, we're living in two separate realities. We can't agree on what the truth is. Some of us get our news from Truth Social, which, by the way, is tanking. If you look at their stock price, it's definitely tanking. And you know, millions of people still think the election was stolen with no evidence, with no proof. Yeah. We can't agree on what the truth is as a country, and it's really sad. And it's frankly, it's quite scary especially when I look at the comments on your Facebook.
I totally agree with you, and I'm glad you're on my Facebook page, and I hope that you and people like you feel free to comment on some of the comments, because some of the comments on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page are scary. And what's scary about them is that there are people who think that way. There are people who are that blinded by their bias that they are immune from the truth. They are immune from facts. In fact, I'll read some of your comments in a little while from the SOTA Facebook page. All right. If you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. We're going to do politics in this first hour. Then we're going to start talking about this anniversary of MTV first going on the air. And I love my August 1st shows every year because I take time to just recognize the music revolution that was created by MTV that went on the air on this day in 1981. And the interesting thing is, the first video was the song Video Killed the Radio Star. Video did not kill the radio star. MTV is essentially no longer music television, and here I am still on the air, and I'm doing better than I've ever done in my career. So video didn't kill the radio star. But why? Why didn't video kill the radio star? We'll talk about that in the next hour as well. All right, I'm Scoot on the air, and we're coming back with more of your comments. And on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1992, the Pearl Jam video for the song Jeremy made its debut on MTV. It was about teen suicide, and it went on to become Video of the Year at the VMAs. We'll be back on WWL. Man, another hot, hot day. It's hot. I hope you're in the shade. I hope you're in the AC. And man, for those of you who are working in the sun, for those of you jumping in and out of cars, in and out of trucks delivering packages, God bless all of you. It's summertime. And we're watching that system that could be headed for the eastern Gulf of Mexico. We're in the central Gulf of Mexico, so we're just watching it. No reason to worry now because it hasn't really developed yet. I'm Scoot on the air. It's a Thursday, so we're getting close to the weekend. August 1st, we'll be talking about the birthday of MTV in the next hour. Here are a couple of comments from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. This is about a blog that I wrote, Olympic drag queens have no impact on America or Christianity. And Craig says, you're talking about it as well as hundreds of others. Sounds impactful to me. I don't think trying to set the record straight on something is contributing to the problem. The problem is that people think it has a negative impact. And we went the entire show yesterday, and there was not one in 3 hours, not one legitimate concern that somebody brought up that indicates that part of the opening ceremony of the Paris Olympics would have a negative impact on people. Mark says, I kind of wish you would stop saying that it was a depiction of the Last Supper and state unequivocally that it's a Dionysian banquet. That being said, after all the schooling and learning from our parents, if you think that 30 seconds of screen time of a misrepresented tableau is going to change your kids instantly, then you are the problem, not the Olympic opening ceremony. Also, it's France's Olympics, so they can do what they please. I don't think it's in bad taste. Moreover, I love it. Vive la France. Mark makes an interesting point here. It might not be the Last Supper, but a lot of people saw it as the Last Supper. So that's the reason I refer to it as that, because a lot of people think that that's what it was. April says on SOTA Facebook, I personally didn't care for it, but I'm not going to let the opinions of others ruin my day. As far as making it an impact on kids, I was taught little ears hear big things. So my opinion is the bickering, sandbox kicking, making mountains out of a molehill is what's damaging the little ears trying to grow up in this crazy world. It makes me crazy. Oh, it makes me sad. It was a little emoji there. Louis says, as Christians, we have been far too soft for far too long to let this blasphemy and mockery of our faith happen. It wasn't just the Last Supper. The portrayal of death, riding the white horse, the observance paid to the gold calf, which is a symbolism of what happened in the wilderness when Israel was between Egypt and the Promised Land. Look, I'll stop there. Don't overthink this. And if you're a Christian and you're offended, I get it. I said it was offensive. I said it was tasteless. But my question yesterday, and this is another one that doesn't answer it, what is the negative impact that this is going to have on kids or on society? And the answer is, it's not going to have a negative impact unless you allow it to. And so with all of the people who are offended, that's fine. But people are freaking out, as I pointed out yesterday, over nothing. Because nothing negative is going to result from this. All right, let's go to Jeff in Mandeville. Jeff, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Scoot. I just want to start by once again thanking you for allowing me to share my voice on your airwaves.
Sure.
I really do enjoy your show.
Cool.
You and Ian are extremely entertaining, and it's why I listen.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Quick comment about the trans boxer. It's not what I called about, but, you know, today Joe Biden and Kamala Harris signed into law. They changed Title IX, which is to protect women in sports. So now, if you're a trans person, which is a man who pretends to be a woman, you, by law, get to compete in sports in this country. So the party who's out to protect women and their productive rights is really not out to protect women at all.
Yeah, I think that's a legit point, Jeff. I am not in favor of men who are born biologically male. I'm not in favor of them participating in women's sports.
No, I know. I find it repulsive. I have a daughter. She didn't play sports, but if I did have a daughter playing sports, I would have a real issue with that. And I could not vote Democrat, even if I was a lifelong Democrat. But I actually called the comment about what Trump said about Ms. Harris's ethnicity. I find it curious. I call it phony outrage. I see a lot of that these days. That Donald Trump could say to one individual, and I'm just going to surmise what he said. He said, "Kamala Harris, you ain't black." And it's funny because I heard an old white guy about 4 years ago running for president tell every black person in this country that if they weren't smart enough to know who to vote for, then you ain't black.
Yeah, that was a pretty dumb thing Biden said.
Where's the outrage?
Yeah.
Well, wait
a minute, Jeff.
Explain that to me, Sue.
Jeff, there was outrage then. There was outrage over that.
No, there wasn't.
Yes,
there
was
very little pushback. Maybe a few people had something to say, but
that's not true.
Racial trope for a man to say.
I do a radio show. I hear from people on topics, and there was a lot of outrage to that, Jeff. A lot.
Okay. Well, fair enough. So he said it to one lady, and at the end of the day, it's on record. You can find the audio and the video wherever you want. If you want to find it, Ms. Harris said, "Hey, growing up, I identified more Indian than I did black." Okay, so she said it. So doesn't it beg the question? And I get it, the linguistics is a little touchy. He could have said it differently. Instead of saying, "When did you turn black?" He could have said, "Well, when did you decide that identifying as black was going to be the same for you?"
She identified
as an Indian growing up.
Okay, just because somebody says that they identified more as Indian, it doesn't mean that factually she's not black. She is black in our society, and you can look at her and tell that she's black. And if she says that she identified more with being an Indian, well, okay, I don't know if she should have said that, but that doesn't take away the fact that in America she's black. All right, let's go to Ann in New Orleans. Ann, I've got time for a fast comment. Hello, Ann.
Yeah, Scoot, I'm just really disgusted and disturbed by the Republican Party. They have infiltrated my children, and my children have been sending me disgusting emails about Trump and Biden and Kamala. Just absolutely disgusting. And I have been a registered Democrat my entire life. Even before I was 18, I identified as a Democrat. I've worked, I've volunteered for every Democratic election since Bill Clinton, even the regional elections. I've been a pollster, working for nothing. And these people continuously bombard my email, and they're my children. So how can I block them? Because they send me pictures of my grandchildren as well. But it's disgusting and disturbing, and I don't know what to do about it.
Well, there are ways to
beg them to stop.
There are ways to block people and just get somebody to help you, because it's pretty easy to totally block somebody, because sometimes somebody's not worthy. I mean, we have a lot of differing opinions on SOTA Facebook, but sometimes people are not worthy. So we actually block those who are not worthy on being on there. But it's pretty easy to do that. And, you know, when you think about Trump's comments yesterday about Kamala Harris turning black, it wasn't the right way to say it. Why is it so difficult to just do the right thing? So one of the new laws in Louisiana that went into effect is a law that you're to use the bathroom of the gender that you were born with. So, you know, we'll talk about that tomorrow. But coming up in the next hour, for the next 2 hours, let's talk about the anniversary of MTV going on the air August 1st, 1981. And we've got a lot of interviews to share with you from some of the people who were on MTV in those early years. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Man, another hot, hot day. It's hot. I hope you're in the shade. I hope you're in the AC. And man, for those of you who are working in the sun, for those of you jumping in and out of cars, in and out of trucks delivering packages, God bless all of you. It's summertime. And we're watching that system that could be headed for the eastern Gulf of Mexico. We're in the central Gulf of Mexico, so we're just watching it. No reason to worry now because it hasn't really developed yet. I'm Scoot on the air. It's a Thursday, so we're getting close to the weekend. August 1st, we'll be talking about the birthday of MTV in the next hour. Here are a couple of comments from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. This is about a blog that I wrote, Olympic drag queens have no impact on America or Christianity. And Craig says, you're talking about it as well as hundreds of others. Sounds impactful to me. I don't think trying to set the record straight on something is contributing to the problem. The problem is that people think it has a negative impact. And we went the entire show yesterday, and there was not one in 3 hours, not one legitimate concern that somebody brought up that indicates that part of the opening ceremony of the Paris Olympics would have a negative impact on people. Mark says, I kind of wish you would stop saying that it was a depiction of the Last Supper and state unequivocally that it's a Dionysian banquet. That being said, after all the schooling and learning from our parents, if you think that 30 seconds of screen time of a misrepresented tableau is going to change your kids instantly, then you are the problem, not the Olympic opening ceremony. Also, it's France's Olympics, so they can do what they please. I don't think it's in bad taste. Moreover, I love it. Vive la France. Mark makes an interesting point here. It might not be the Last Supper, but a lot of people saw it as the Last Supper. So that's the reason I refer to it as that, because a lot of people think that that's what it was. April says on SOTA Facebook, I personally didn't care for it, but I'm not going to let the opinions of others ruin my day. As far as making it an impact on kids, I was taught little ears hear big things. So my opinion is the bickering, sandbox kicking, making mountains out of a molehill is what's damaging the little ears trying to grow up in this crazy world. It makes me crazy. Oh, it makes me sad. It was a little emoji there. Louis says, as Christians, we have been far too soft for far too long to let this blasphemy and mockery of our faith happen. It wasn't just the Last Supper. The portrayal of death, riding the white horse, the observance paid to the gold calf, which is a symbolism of what happened in the wilderness when Israel was between Egypt and the Promised Land. Look, I'll stop there. Don't overthink this. And if you're a Christian and you're offended, I get it. I said it was offensive. I said it was tasteless. But my question yesterday, and this is another one that doesn't answer it, what is the negative impact that this is going to have on kids or on society? And the answer is, it's not going to have a negative impact unless you allow it to. And so with all of the people who are offended, that's fine. But people are freaking out, as I pointed out yesterday, over nothing. Because nothing negative is going to result from this. All right, let's go to Jeff in Mandeville. Jeff, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Scoot. I just want to start by once again thanking you for allowing me to share my voice on your airwaves.
Sure.
I really do enjoy your show.
Cool.
You and Ian are extremely entertaining, and it's why I listen.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, quick comment about the trans boxer. It's not what I called about, but, you know, today, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris signed into law, they changed Title IX, which is to protect women in sports. So now, if you're a trans person, which is a man who pretends to be a woman, you, by law, get to compete in sports in this country. So the party who's out to protect women and their productive rights is really not out to protect women at all.
Yeah, I think that's a legit point, Jeff. I am not in favor of men who are born biologically male. I'm not in favor of them participating in women's sports.
No, I know. I find it repulsive. I have a daughter. She didn't play sports, but if I did have a daughter playing sports, I would have a real issue with that. And I could not vote Democrat, even if I was a lifelong Democrat. But I actually called to comment about what Trump said about Ms. Harris's ethnicity. I find it curious. I call it phony outrage. I see a lot of that these days. That Donald Trump could say to one individual, and I'm just going to surmise what he said. He said, Kamala Harris, you ain't black. And it's funny because I heard an old white guy about 4 years ago running for president tell every black person in this country that if they weren't smart enough to know who to vote for, then you ain't black.
Yeah, that was a pretty dumb thing Biden said.
Where's the outrage?
Yeah.
Well, wait
a minute, Jeff.
Explain that to me, Stu.
Jeff, there was outrage then. There was outrage over that.
No, there wasn't.
Yes,
there was very little pushback. Maybe a few people had something to say, but
that's not true.
Talk about a presumptive racial trope for a man to say.
I do a radio show. I hear from people on topics, and there was a lot of outrage to that, Jeff. A lot.
Okay. Well, fair enough. So he said it to one lady, and at the end of the day, it's on record. You can find the audio and the video wherever you want if you want to find it. Ms. Harris said, hey, growing up, I identified more Indian than I did black. Okay, so she said it. So doesn't it beg the question? And I get it. The linguistics is a little touchy. He could have said it differently. He could have instead said, when'd you turn black? He could have said, well, when did you decide that identifying as black was going to be the same for you?
She identified
as an Indian growing up.
Okay, just because somebody says that they identified more as Indian, it doesn't mean that factually she's not black. She is black in our society, and you can look at her and tell that she's black. And if she says that she identified more with being an Indian, well, okay, I don't know if she should have said that, but that doesn't take away the fact that in America she's black. All right, let's go to Ann in New Orleans. Ann, I've got time for a fast comment. Hello, Ann.
Yeah, Scoot, I'm just really disgusted and disturbed by the Republican Party. They have infiltrated my children, and my children have been sending me disgusting emails about Trump and Biden and Kamala. Just absolutely disgusting. And I have been a registered Democrat my entire life. Even before I was 18, I identified as a Democrat. I've worked, I've volunteered for every Democratic election since Bill Clinton, even the regional elections. I've been a pollster, working for nothing. And these people continuously bombard my email, and they're my children. So how can I block them? Because they send me pictures of my grandchildren as well. But it's disgusting and disturbing, and I don't know what to do about it.
Well, there are ways to
beg them to stop.
There are ways to block people and just get somebody to help you, because it's pretty easy to totally block somebody, because sometimes somebody's not worthy. I mean, we have a lot of differing opinions on SOTA Facebook, but sometimes people are not worthy. So we actually block those who are not worthy on being on there. But it's pretty easy to do that. And, you know, when you think about Trump's comments yesterday about Kamala Harris turning black, it wasn't the right way to say it. Why is it so difficult to just do the right thing? So one of the new laws in Louisiana that went into effect is a law that you're to use the bathroom of the gender that you were born with. So, you know, we'll talk about that tomorrow. But coming up in the next hour, for the next 2 hours, let's talk about the anniversary of MTV going on the air August 1st, 1981. And we've got a lot of interviews to share with you from some of the people who were on MTV in those early years. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.